Please go ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, Commission Members, Secretary Hepler, John Kotelnik, Senior Staff Attorney for Gay Mission Parks. Hopefully moving on to a little bit of a lighter note than the CWD doom and gloom administrative rules review. Maybe not as exciting as CWD, but it's certainly an important aspect that Andy Elvin and I have been working on for the last couple months, and we will continue to work on for the foreseeable future. First, if I could just rewind to a point of order on finalization of the archery deer hunting season on page 13 of your books. I caught this after you had moved on, but I believe Commissioner Sharp had made the motion to pass that proposal, and if that was correct, that motion failed for a lack of affirmative votes. So therefore, there was no action taken on that finalization. So there would need to be a motion for rejection or some other motion to complete the process.
Sorry, Commissioner Olson, I made my statement about supporting leaving those little islanded areas for a special type of a archery start, and then after the motion had no yes votes, everyone was unanimous against it, we didn't go back in, so he's right.
So the motion you want would say what?
Mr. Chair, I can't direct you to make a motion, but
the
motion to reject, is if that is the commission's wishes. I mean, that's what I understood the commission's intention was to reject it based on the silence for the failure of an affirmative motion to pass it. The alternative would be a motion to reject, and the commission would then vote on that.
Okay, a motion to reject.
Yeah.
I'd so move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? There.
Sorry about that.
Oh, good.
So I'm here today with Andy Elvin, and just to give you again a little bit of background on what we were doing, I kind of gave you guys a preview last month about what we would be bringing to you, but just to refresh your memories, Representative Gosh brought a piece of legislation in the 2019 session that would have directed GFMP to go through their entire administrative rules and a systematic review to identify rules that are irrelevant, inconsistent, illogically arranged, or unclear in their intent. That was a piece of legislation that he introduced. If we failed to comply with that, the proposed legislation would have stripped the GFP Commission of pretty much all of their authority. So we worked with Representative Gosh and said, this is a great idea. I mean, we're all about rule reduction and simplification and making it easier for our users to understand rules as well as staff to understand the rules. So we worked with Representative Gosh and said, we'll do this voluntarily. So fast forward a couple months, and that's where Andy and I have gotten tasked to go through this process. I know there's quite a few pages in front of you. A lot of it's cosmetic. There's not a whole lot of super large changes that are gonna, you know, affect day-to-day operations. We were mainly looking for those categories that we talked about: irrelevant, inconsistent, illogically arranged, redundant. So with that, I think the plan is we'll walk you through each of the titles and acts and kind of work our way through that. And as you see questions, please feel to jump in, because I will probably go a little fast because we have a lot of pages to get through, and some of the changes are super minor. So with that, Mr. Chair, permission to proceed.
Okay.
Oh, and by the way, Andy Elvin and I are kind of going to tag team it, so he'll do one proposal and I'll do the next and so on and so forth. So dealing with the first chapter there, 4101, on page 2 of 51 in the large packet I handed out to you, we created a new rule that was exempting department employees from the administrative rule title itself when they're performing their duties, their official duties, during the course of business. The reason why we did this is because we've only begun to chip away at this. We're through Act 3 of 13 different acts. So What we are finding is that it's sprinkled out throughout different areas. So the exemption for employees doing their jobs is, you know, found in this chapter and this chapter and this chapter. We thought, why not just make a blanket rule up front saying department employees are exempt from this administrative rules when they're carrying out their official duties during the course of business. So that's what you see on that on page two. Page three is moving into the definition section. So previously we had three definitions. As you can see, they're pretty simple. Another common issue that we came across as far as making rules rather lengthy was under the park system, their rules would list out every single park entity, whether it be a state park, state recreation area, state lakeside use area, you name it. And then we have historic prairies. We have it lists a bunch of different, the George Mickelson Trail. So to simplify things, we changed it to reference state park system. Anytime we have that long laundry list of state park controlled entities, we changed it to state park system. So that's our working definition. You'll see that consistently moving forward, that we changed all that language out to just say state park system. The other area where we noticed kind of some overlap and redundancy was these areas known as lake access areas and fishing access areas. They're often intertwined. They often serve the same purpose. They're basically an area where an individual can access the water. Hence the name we came up with as far as water access area. And if you recall, at the last commission meeting, you guys actually finalized some parks rules that dealt with nomenclature of changing some of those to water access areas. A little rain on our parade yesterday. We were, I think our cart was ahead of the horse. We did bring those rules to the IRRC. They ultimately reverted three of those because we didn't have this working definition of what is a water access area. So we had went through and renamed some things water access areas without actually having a working definition. So that does fall on me a little bit as far as not recognizing that we needed that working definition first before we started changing these. But it's a pretty easy fix, I believe, and you'll see as we go through. So that kind of covers it for 4101, that first on page 17. Are there any questions on that? Right, I'll turn it over to Andy on the next one.
Mr. Chairman, did you want us to go through all of these in one, or did you want to go sheet by sheet, I guess, just to clarify here? Okay. So if you turn your attention to page 17A there, you'll see there's five recommendations. One of the main things we're looking at here is nomenclature. We used the word licensing and license in regards to agents interchangeably there, and so what we're trying to do is gain some consistency there. So you'll see some changes in those rule markups there for those particular rules. Also, there was a rule, if you turn to page 5 of the rule markups, the rule at the bottom there, we had a rule that explained the process when we had license agents that were delinquent in their fees paid back to the department. And we used the term disconnected in that rule to describe two different scenarios, and it was a little bit confusing. So we're asking you to insert suspended for one of the scenarios and revoked for the other scenario there to describe the severity and the penalties that go along with that non-payment of the accounts that are past due in regards to that. The final rule on page 6 there is just some cleanup language, as you can see, very minor in the markup. Any questions on that page?
Uh, Mr. Chair again, John Katilnik. Moving right along, now we start to get into some of the nitty-gritty stuff. My red pen was pretty happy with this section, so we did do a lot of repeals and a lot of moving parts and consolidation. We feel that this was in line with what Representative Gosh as well as other legislators had expressed to us. So moving right into it, this chapter deals with parks and public lands, specifically the use of parks and public lands. And I guess it's no secret that there has been a historical divide between parks and Division of Wildlife. And one of our aims at looking at these rules was how to consolidate, not only for our users, but for our staff as well, consolidate them into one unit to understand how, timing and the ability to access these parks, what can be done in these parks. So you'll see that as kind of a reoccurring theme throughout the changes that are being proposed here. Starting with 4103.01.01.01 on page 9 of 51, we had three separate rules. We had a rule for the state parks in general. We had a specific rule for time on George Mickelson Trail, and then we had a rule for wildlife properties. And to me, that just seemed kind of over cumbersome and unnecessary. So again, we combined all three of those rules into the rule that you see there in 4103.01.01.01, and it is time restrictions on state park system, which is the definition we created, and public lands. As a caveat, we were working through this process, and I have to give kudos to all the staff members who helped, obviously regional supervisors and the directors and deputy directors. One of the individuals pointed out that he believed there may have been agreements with landowners along Mickelson Trail that dictated the time that individuals could be out on Mickelson Trail. So we are still trying to track that down. But as the proposed rule reads, basically all GFMP properties, whether it be parks or wildlife, are open until 11 p.m. They're closed until 6 p.m. unless you're doing 6 a.m. unless you're doing one of those permitted activities, i.e. lawfully fishing, lawfully hunting, lawfully snowmobiling, et cetera, et cetera. So we consolidated it all into one simple rule. Again, that's easier for our park users and our wildlife users to know that, hey, it's 11 o'clock. If I'm not doing one of these lawful activities, I need to get out of here. I don't need to figure out if I'm on a wildlife property or if I'm on a state park. It's GFMP, and that's kind of what we're going for. So the following pages, you'll see the remnants of what we repealed. Again, 4103.01.02, this is on page 10 of 51, repealed it because, again, we covered it in the previous rule. 4103.03.03 again repealed it because covered it in the previous rule. The next one on page 11 of 51, and I need to say that I'm not trying to be critical of any drafting skills of previous rules. I'm sure everyone had good intentions when they were doing rules. But sometimes there's a lot of redundancy, and this was a perfect example of that. So prohibited use of walk-in areas. So we have the whole walk-in area rule and basically saying you have to walk into a walk-in area, no motor vehicles. Well, we also went on to say that you couldn't take species except for during the dates that you could take species. That's already in rule somewhere else. I mean, that's governed by I think it's 4106. So again, it was redundant and didn't need it. Same with the bag limit, didn't need it. So we simplified the rule by just stating only persons may only travel on walk-in areas on foot. So again, a simplification. Another common reoccurring theme that you'll see is that Andy and I tried to go through on, for example, looking at 4103.01.02 on the bottom of page 11. We use this term on public lands owned, leased, managed, or controlled. Sometimes managed was left out, sometimes leased was left out, and I don't think that was intentional. I believe it was just an oversight. But when we talk about lands owned, leased, managed, or controlled, that covers every piece of property that the department has. I mean, when we're talking about parks, we're talking about Mickelson Trail, you're talking about GPAs, that covers it all. So you'll see that we've inserted those same four adjectives throughout this packet. Again, moving on to page 12, you can see the insertion of managed and removal of George Mickelson Trail, because again, once we add the word managed, it covers George Mickelson Trail. A lot of these are just removing the reference to George Mickelson Trail specifically, because again, when using that language, own, lease, manage, and control, we believe that that covers the George Mickelson Trail, so it's unnecessary to single that particular area out. Bottom of page 13, 4103.01.11, loudspeakers prohibited. We felt that we had an opportunity here to broaden the rule. We understand that loudspeakers at campsites and in different areas are a source of a nuisance. So what we did was basically tailor this to a nuisance statute or a nuisance administrative law. So anybody who's causing unreasonable sound or unreasonable disturbances can get a ticket for it. Obviously, officers use discretion, you know, come by and say, let them know, turn the music down, it's 11 o'clock, quiet hours, because we do have quiet hours posted in the park. So we felt this was a broader way to encapsulate what the intent of that rule was, and that's, again, just a general nuisance rule. Moving on to page 14 and 51, the pet prohibitions. Nothing major there, just kind of broke it into sections. The LRC actually has a pretty handy administrative rule writing guidebook. They give you suggestions on how to write the rules, style, form, all that good stuff. And their rule of thumb is if you have more than three ideas in a rule, you should separate those out into a paragraph so that you don't have a long paragraph and have the reader trying to guess where the breaks are and what particular idea applies where. So that's what you see in that rule, is just the breaking out of those pet prohibitions. On the next page, 15 to 51, you can see we struck out that paragraph, a person may not allow a pet to cause an unreasonable disturbance, because that is now covered by our nuisance administrative rule. So again, consolidation. Moving on to the bottom of the page, again, just word consistency. We wanted to use or a designated agent, removing secretary of the department. We can just say secretary, because that's what we have seen consistently. Moving on to page 16 of 51, again, you can see that we use state park system to replace the long list of state parks, state recreation areas, state lakeside use areas. Again, it's just more concise. You can see that throughout that whole page on page 16. Same with page 17. Again, removal of the state park, state recreation area, and referencing state park system. Moving on to page 18, there were no changes on page 18. So moving on to page 19, let me get caught up in my book here. So 4103.01.16.02, this was the administrative rule that we brought in front of the IRC yesterday morning. We changed East Pelican, I believe it was fishing access, we changed it to water access. Same with Hazel's Haven. It was fishing access. We changed it to water access. So they reverted this rule actually back. So luckily for us, we already had it on the sheet. We were ready to propose it again now that we have a working definition. So it would be our proposal that we basically take another run at this now that we have a working definition to change those back to water access areas. In addition to that rule that's not in your packet, we would be asking you to do similar action on administrative rules 4103.01.16.04 and 4103.01.16.05. Again, both those administrative rules reference either fishing or lake access, and we want to change it to water access. So that would, again, encapsulate this whole change. Moving on from water access to page 21 of 51, again, simple modifications, remaining consistent. We added public to public lands, again, adding that adjective managed, or adverb, excuse me, managed. Page 22 of 51 on rule 4103-0120, it looks like there may have been some substantive things done, but in reality, I switched the way the sentence was structured. It made a lot more sense if you start out with the restriction of a person not being able to hike off Baraboo with the exception. Prior to that, as you can see the strike through, it said it gave the permission and then gave the general rule. So that's just the style and format. Bottom of page 22, hang gliding prohibited. Some of these you'll see that all we did was add the specific administrative authority, because that has been an issue for some cases, whether LRC has identified it specifically, but I have heard of a particular state's attorney that refused to prosecute a Andy may be able to help me refused to prosecute someone driving off the road on a GPA because our authority did not cite to our wildlife authority. It was a parks rule. It was a 4117.1 versus 41-2-18. So again, the authorities do matter, especially sometimes in the eye of the state's attorneys and the law enforcement that are involved. So Andy and I went through and made sure that we had the proper sub citations as well as the correct and updated other citations. Moving on, the rest of that page, you can see there's some authority changes, but again, generally it was just adding the managed or controlled. Another practice that the LRC manual for drafting administrative rules recommends is that you don't list examples. They don't like examples of things, and that's twofold. One, that it's you can never get every example. I mean, they are kind of helpful sometimes, but you can never give every example, and it kind of creates confusion. Well, if they didn't list this, does it mean that this is not included? Secondly, it's hard to keep a administrative rule relevant if you're listing examples. I mean, if we say a rotary phone, it may have been a perfect example 30 years ago, but if we had a rotary phone in a rule today, we wouldn't know what that, I mean, most of us wouldn't know what that is. So the idea of keeping examples out is a kind of a general rule from LRC. Moving on to page 2451, again, this is merely just breaking up the four ideas that we had. LRC's general rule, three ideas or more, break it up so it's easier for the users to read. Bottom of page 24, we added state park system, eliminating the long list of their areas controlled. We added some sub-bullet authority on the top of page 25. Moving on to 4103-0129 on page 25. Again, consistency, we just want to say a department representative. I mean, that's what we've used throughout other rules. Bottom of page 25, this was kind of a lengthy conversation, and I learned a lot about hunter quarry. So over the next couple of rules, you'll see that there's various alcohol prohibitions within different areas owned or operated by the department. Andy and I's thought was, well, if we have alcohol prohibitions, why not just combine them all into one alcohol prohibition rule? It makes sense. I mean, instead of trying to figure out, well, maybe there's an alcohol prohibition at Lake or at Okoboji Point. I don't know. But so if you want to find out the alcohol prohibitions, you can go to this specific administrative rule, and it'll tell you where they're at. So dovetailing on that, we listed the areas, and as a result, we were able to repeal 4103-0132, which is alcoholic beverage prohibited at Bear Butte. You'll see that we repealed leaving of human remains at Bear Butte State Park prohibited. I talked with my counterpart in the Department of Human Services, Health Services, excuse me, and he felt, and I felt as well, that disposition of remains is governed by a whole huge subset of other administrative rules found in their chapters. So I don't know that we necessarily need a specific rule to address Bear Butte. I'm sure that it was in goodwill when it was created, but essentially you need to have permission from both the coroner's office and the county register of deeds before you dispose of any remains, ashes, things like that. And, or if you're talking about burial, you need special permits. So I don't know that this rule is absolutely necessary. Again, it may have just been a good gesture, which if the commission chooses to keep it on the books, that's absolutely fine. Our job was tasked to find redundancy, and I felt this rule was redundant. So that brings us to Hunter Quarry. I had a lot of questions about Hunter Quarry and why it was being specifically singled out. And I spoke to our law enforcement, and I guess that they had quite a few issues up there with either underage drinking or drinking in excessive and people swimming and ultimately getting themselves into trouble, safety issues. So this rule came about as a way to mitigate those safety issues. But the way the rule was tailored after discussing with some of our regional supervisors and other staff is that if you read the original rule, the only thing you could do there is fish. You couldn't float a boat out there. You couldn't walk up there to check out the butterflies. The rule was extremely too restrictive. And after talking with staff, their ultimate goal was for Hunter Quarry was to prevent public swimming and to prevent boats out in that water. And we have a specific chapter just for that. So we've already taken care of the alcoholic prohibition on the previous rule that we discussed. So what we'll do is address the no swimming, no boating in our subsequent chapter 04, and take care of it in that manner, and which will allow additional recreational opportunities for those individuals who do just want to hike around Hunter's Quarry or go watch the butterflies or do anything other than just fishing. Because right now the way the rule is all you can do is fish. So we're repealing that rule. Moving on to page 2751, again, just a lot of language cleanup. You can see there's a lot of authority cleanup as well. Same with at the bottom page, we added managed. And then last on page 28, again, we use our handy dandy definition of the state park system to eliminate that long list of state park owned properties. Sorry, there was a lot to throw you. Any questions on chapter 410301? Otherwise, I'll turn it over to my counterpart, Andy.
Okay, moving forward to chapter 410302, which pertains to motor vehicle usage on department lands. Page 29 of 51 there, you'll see in the first rule, just some cleanup. We do define what a motor vehicle is in state statute, so we wanted to refer back to that and eliminate some of the examples there. The next rule pertaining to traffic signs and markings on department lands, you'll see as we go forward, there were several rules that talked about obedience to yield signs, stop signs, parking and no parking zones, one-way road signs. We had rules for each of those specific situations. We felt it was wise to consolidate all those into one rule. So that's what you see here, a statement that says you can't operate a motor vehicle that's in violation of any of the signs that are present there pertaining to traffic or parking on department lands. And then the last rule on page 29 there, again, just some cleanup and language reference to statutory definitions. Then turning to page 30 of 51, you'll see some of those examples where we're asking you to repeal the first rule there pertaining to yield signs, the second rule pertaining to stop signs. Moving on to page 31, a repeal for the obedience to one-way road signs, parking in no parking zones, and parking in handicapped space prohibited. All those we would ask you to repeal because we're covering with that previous rule there. So getting rid of a lot of verbiage in the administrative rule booklet and consolidating into one rule will be helpful to have that in just one single rule there. And then turning to page 32, just again some simple cleanup there with references to statute and nomenclature, applying that rule that was previously applicable to just the state park system and making it apply to all public lands owned, leased, managed, or controlled by the department. Any questions on that section of cleanup?
Thanks, Andy. I think you got the shorter ones. I guess you should have went first and we could alternate the other way. So moving on to page 17F in your commission books, this is chapter 410303. This chapter deals with park entrance licenses and license requirements. So on page 33, again, that same concept, there was multiple ideas within one rule. So we broke the rule apart to make it easier for not only our staff, but the consumers to understand how it operates. It doesn't change anything functionally on that actual rule, but it just makes it kind of easier for individuals to understand it. Moving on to page 3451, beginning with park entrance license exemptions. So a little quick historical background. I could not figure out the difference between an exception and a park license not required. We have two sections within that chapter that talk about whether a park license exemption exists or a park license is not required. And I spoke to a number of staff and they couldn't really give me a good explanation either. Again, it's one of these deals that it's no one's fault. It's just a matter of how these all come together over 30 plus years of people piecemealing stuff together. So what we did with this administrative rules, we combined both the area where a park license entrance isn't required we incorporated that into the park entrance license exemptions because they effectively do the same thing. So you won't see any changes on page 34 or 51. You'll start to see the changes on page 35 of 41. So any enrolled Crow Creek tribe member, that's already actually been passed, so that may be an errant underline. That was, if you recall, we passed that exception 2 months ago at the last IRRC meeting. So that may be an error there, and I'll get back and correct that. But what we did add number 5 and 6, which if you flip the page to 37 of 51, we basically took those two subpoints and put them back over into this. So you have one rule, again, for ease of our users and our staff members to say, when does someone not need a park license entrance? Should they need to go to two different rules to figure out which category they fall into? That doesn't make sense to me. So we made one rule that says park license exemptions, and you go there and you see if the individual who's inquiring about it qualifies for one of these. It helps them from having to search through multiple different regulations to figure that out. Moving on to page 36 of 51, we changed spring open house park entrance license exemptions. And the reason why I kept this one out separately is because the previous exemption rule that we just talked about dealt with categories of people. This was more time related. So if you're familiar, we have our open house weekend in our state parks where there's no pass required. We invite people to come in. It's usually Memorial Day, I believe. But then also we've been doing lately allowing for Father's Day and Mother's Day to try to get those families out there. Again, it goes with our strategic plan of getting families outdoors. So we added that into the time restriction nomenclature to say from 6 a.m. on this date, Mother's Day and Father's Day are now included. So kind of a cleanup there. Page 3751, you can see that's going to be repealed because we combined it with our other license exemptions. page 38 to 51, it was a lot of cleanup. It was just, it was rather wordy on in terms of how Half Price stickers worked. We cleaned up what and how and where a person can get their additional stickers beyond two, because that we have what was in rule and what was practically happening. So we lined the rule up with what was practically happening. So we felt that we're in a good place with that rule. Page 39 of 51, just again, some minor administrative cleanups. You can see in the middle of the page, this license is valid for visits of two consecutive 7 days. It was unnecessary to say the license is good from 1 day to 7 days. The license is good for 7 days, whether you stay there 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, or 4 day. They didn't have, there's no category to buy a 1 day or a 2 day license. So again, that was just an administrative cleanup. Moving on to page 41, that's it for that chapter. So turn it back over to Andy.
Okay, moving on to page 42 in the markups there. It's chapter 410304. You'll see one minor edit. It was we caught a misspelling of a modem cabin. We meant modern cabin. So that's just a minor cleanup on that one there. Page 44. In regards to camping permits required, just to clean up, instead of listing dates, just saying year round. Also some cleanup on the next rule regarding registration procedures, references to online reservation system, and eliminating the phone number for the reservation system in rule in case it changes in the future there. Page 46, just some minor cleanup, changing to through. Also some references to our park reservation center, using some consistent language when we refer to it. Page 48, sale of firewood, consolidation of all those different areas, and just saying state park system. The camping cabin rule on the bottom there, eliminating the reference to rent a camper. And then on page 49, nomenclature again, changing camp pad to camp site. The next rule in regards to checkout times enforced, just making the rule more easily understood and cleaning it up a little bit there, referencing the state park system. Pretty simple edit there on that one.
Thanks, Andy. Moving on to page 17H in your commission book. So the next two sections we'll be dealing with is 410305 and 410306. 410305 deals with the Mickelson Trail. Just a minor change in that first administrative rule to enter, comma, use, because that, again, has been the consistent use of that phrase throughout the entire rule. So we just, again, wanted to keep it consistent. I'll draw your attention to 410305.04. The daily trail user pass expires at 11 p.m. Again, that's something that I need to work a little bit more with Matt Snyder and his staff out in Custer State Park to determine whether or not there are landowner agreements, because the way Mickelson Trail is that there are adjacent landowners that have certain property rights along the Mickelson Trail right away. And I was provided one of those agreements that said basically that sunrise to sunset would be the hours for operation, but I'd like to dig into that a little bit further. I don't think that it changes anything for this proposal. What you may see is a change at finalization if our investigation comes up with ultimately concluding that we do have to change and exempt Mickelson Trail out based on those landowner agreements. So I just wanted to draw that to your attention. Bottom of page 50 was just a cleanup, adding the or a daily or annual pass. And only one rule change in the snowmobile, and that was there was another rule that basically made this circular. So we cleaned up the circular rule referencing, because one rule referenced it, and then so 4103.0603 referenced 4103.0601, and it just kind of went back and forth and didn't really make sense. So by removing that, except as provided in, it's clear. And at the end of the day, you need to have this display of a commercial snowmobile trail user pass unless there's an exemption, and that's the exemption is provided for in that 4103.0603. So I know that was a lot, and most of you are still awake, so that's good. I know the administrative rules and going through with a fine-tooth comb is not as exciting as CWD or many of the other great issues that we bring forward to you, but we feel it's a necessary tool that we need to do to make sure that our rules are most up-to-date, user-friendly, not redundant, and complying with the wishes of the legislature. And so with that, I would entertain any questions about either the process or what we plan to do next or anything additional that the commission would like to see.
Questions? Commissioner Olson.
Well, you stole it from me, Commissioner Olson. What are the next steps then? Now that this part is done, what will page two look like?
So, through the chair, Commissioner Olson, so this was the first section of rules that Andy and I had gone through. So we have over 770 pages of rules total. So this is 50 of them so far. We're taking them chapter by chapter. So right now we did 4101 through 4103. Our next goal is to tackle 4104 through 4105. Moving on systematically like that, bringing those sections. So the next commission meeting in September, you should be able to see hopefully a finalization of these rules, then also a whole new rule proposal package of 4104 through 4105 for your consideration, and so on and so forth for the next couple months. So, sorry.
I'm just scheduling my hunting trip. So.
Any other questions, comments? Now, do you need them, Secretary Hepler?
I just want to reinforce the great work that you guys are doing here. And it is laborious, and I know the people listening, I know we have some members of the audience listening this morning. But it's very necessary. And for the people who spend time around the legislature, like Doug and others, we know we hear about this from the legislative side. But also, you know, previous governors, particularly Governor Noem, also wants to go back. And, you know, she expects us to go back and review these and make sure that they are clean and, you know, get rid of that language. We've, you know, done that progressively, certainly since time I've been here, even before I showed up. And so this is another way of doing that. So it is good work. And I know it's hard to go through 51 pages, and I know you got another few hundred to look through, but it is good work. And once you get this thing done and it's cleaned up, so I applaud you, and you're right, it's not chronic wasting disease, but I'm glad it's not, because we don't have an answer to that, but we do have an answer to this. So thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. Do you want a separate motion on A and B and C and D? Is that how you want to do it?
Mr. Chair, I think that would be the easiest. Yeah, if because they're lined out as separate proposals, I think that would probably be the easiest.
All right, so we need a motion to approve 17A in our sheet here, which is 4102.
17 first.
What did I say? 17A?
Yeah.
Yes, so we're in 17A, and we need a motion to approve that, which deals with 4102.
Turn back, Commissioner Chair, if you turn back one page, there's...
Oh, we're on 17, sorry. Okay. So we need a motion to approve 17. All right, is there a second? Any discussion? If not, all in favor of approving number 17, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes. Now we get to 17A. Is there a motion to approve? Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion? No discussion. All in favor of approving 17A, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes. We're off to 17B.
So moved. Second.
Any discussion? No discussion. All in favor of 17B, say aye. Any opposed? Passes. Off to 17C.
B, actually.
Oh.
Mr. Chair, I think 17C and D are part of 17B. It's just a continuation. So the next rule you'd be taking action on would be 17E.
Okay, good. We're off to 17E. Any motion to approve? Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? No discussion. All in favor of approving 17E? Say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It passes. 17F. Second?
Second.
Any discussion? No discussion. All in favor of approving 17F, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes. 17G.
Move to approve. Second.
Any discussion? No discussion. All in favor of 17G, say aye, please.
Aye.
Any opposed? It passes. 17H.
So moved.
Is there a second? Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes. Thank you. It is important, and we appreciate.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All your work. So I think before we take a break, here's where I